Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Grace Gathering. It's really good to be here today, and a lot of really cool things going on today. Menzies dedicating Theo this morning, encouraging. I think, Menzies, you guys have been here since like the very beginning of this place, right? Continue to grow your family and grow in just leadership overall. So just appreciate you guys. And then shortly, we will have a baptism, as Brian shared, over in the pool area. But just want to share a few things before we get there. I just arrived back last night at right around midnight from Haiti. And it was a late night, so if I start to say weird things, just kind of nod and kind of smile, right? But it was kind of a late night. There's still quite a few from Grace North in Haiti currently. They're coming back today, but during our time there, we interviewed over 20 young adults who will be a part of the program here in September of Empower International, just the training program there. And many of them, I don't know if you guys have heard the news recently. Haiti's been on the news as a place that you should definitely not go. It was a little too late for us. But the country certainly is riddled with just some really tough things. It continues to kind of escalate. It seems like, I mean, we were in a really safe environment, but it just continues to escalate. And it's just tough to watch, to see just some of the protests and just the place riddled with poverty and desperation and a government that struggles to know what's best for the people. And it's just a really tough environment. And I was just thinking this morning as I was just praying through just the young adults that we were spending time with, God just kind of impressed in me just the freedom that comes through the truth. It says in Scripture, you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free. So in a place where there's really lawlessness, there's a lack of freedom, which seems odd, but it's reality. And it's the truth of God, that actually brings freedom and brings hope and brings peace and brings change. And so that's my prayer for that country. But it's good to be back. It's good to be here. And I'm going to share a little bit about something that happened in Haiti here shortly. But we're going to start today with a new series. So today we begin a series entitled Practicing His Presence, which is a series on the spiritual disciplines this morning. And during our time, we're just going to spend time in the spiritual disciplines and practices that help us engage deeper in the presence of God and all that He has for us. We know that there are some foundational aspects of our faith journey, beginning with spiritual birth, understanding that we're broken people in a broken world, and we have Christ who sacrificed for us to bring us life and new life. And if we place our faith in Him and repent and believe the good news of the gospel, we're given life. And then there's spiritual growth, or becoming more like Christ in how we live. And this is accomplished through indirect effort, or yielding to the Holy Spirit, and direct effort, engaging in the spiritual disciplines. So what are the spiritual disciplines? I want to just define the spiritual disciplines first. And this is our definition for the spiritual disciplines during our series here. It's this: spiritual disciplines are regular and consistent decisions and actions that cultivate one's spiritual relationship with God, that are rooted in biblical practice and modeled by Jesus. And there are many spiritual disciplines, but the ones that we're going to focus on during this series are Bible intake, and that's what we're going to be talking about here today, worship, giving, silence, solitude, and prayer and fasting, and then simplicity. And there's a book that I read all the way back in college that I've dusted off and read kind of preparing for this series. And I'd highly recommend this book. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by a guy named Donald Whitney. So if you're looking to read a book This may be a good book to read during this series. Again, it's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney, and it was a really foundational book for me. And in it, at the very beginning of it, he makes a very profound statement. And that statement is this: discipline without direction is drudgery. I mean, think about that statement. Discipline without direction is drudgery. Has anyone ever experienced that in your practice of the spiritual disciplines? Drudgery. Been there? I absolutely have. I first became a believer when I was 5 years old in the kitchen of my house back in the day with my mom. And it's interesting that I remember that moment so vividly and so clearly. And I know at that time I made that decision for Christ because my mom told me that I was going to hell if I didn't. I mean, it's true. I got to be honest. And I was like, I don't want to go there. So here we go, Mom, whatever it takes. And I got on my knees. She got on her knees with me. And I prayed the prayer that day. And it was real. It was. But all through growing up and even into college, praying, reading the scripture and other spiritual disciplines to me felt like drudgery. And the only reason that I would do them is because I was told that I was supposed to. And if I didn't do them, then I wasn't a good Christian. I honestly remember thinking that, and so I would do them because of that. It was a very kind of legalistic way of thinking, one that Christ combated in the New Testament with the Pharisees. We see that. But I had an experience when I was in college where I had an internship in a small town in Darlington, Wisconsin, in a small church of about 120 people. I mean, this town was so small, it had one fast food restaurant. It was Hardee's. I spent a lot of time there. I remember that. But I was kind of I would say a city boy at the time, and it was way out of my comfort zone to be in a small town in Darlington, Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, I was clueless about, like, it was surrounded by, like, cornfields and farms, and I was clueless about any of that type of thing. And so I felt kind of stupid, to be honest with you, not knowing any of these things, because everybody, that's what they did. There were farmers all over the place. And so I figured I need to learn something here. And I remember I went to, there was a three-year-old boy that was the child of a farmer. And I went to him and I said, hey, can you teach me what all this farming stuff is? And so we get in this house, and he pulls out, this is no lie, three-year-old, he pulls out his toy farm equipment, and he sets it all out there. And I was like, okay, so what's that? Oh, that's a silo. So what's that? That's a combine. What's that? That's a bean head. What's that? That's a corn head. And he continued to share with me all of these things. And the reality is that everything that I know about farming, I know we have some farmers here. I sit right over there. Everything I know about farming was from a three-year-old boy in Darlington, Wisconsin. It's absolutely true. But it was during this time in Darlington, Wisconsin, that I began to understand what it looked like to rely on the Holy Spirit. I mean, being in a town like that, completely out of my comfort zone, there was this reliance on the Holy Spirit that God was teaching me and God was moving me into. And we know that when spiritual birth happens, the Holy Spirit resides in us, right? I mean, in the book of Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, it says this: and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The presence of the Holy Spirit causes those that have placed their faith in Jesus to have new holy hungers that they didn't have before. And as I began to surrender more to the Holy Spirit, he began to give me these holy hungers to read God's word. And during the 5 months that I was in Darlington, I poured into the scriptures. And really, I couldn't get enough of it as I read completely through the Old Testament and through the New Testament for the first time. And what was before seemed boring and irrelevant suddenly became exciting and completely relevant. Have you ever been there before? I mean, it's hard to kind of live in that all the time, but have you ever been there before where you had these holy hungers for God's word, these holy hungers to seek him for prayer? When the Holy Spirit indwells in someone, when we purposely surrender to the Holy Spirit, the person begins to prize and to pursue holiness, and holiness is becoming more like Christ. And so an important question that all of us that are Christ followers in this room should ask is, how can I pursue holiness? How can I become more like Christ? I think we find the answer in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, and this is going to be the foundational verse for this series. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, and it says this, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." If your purpose is godliness, and that is your purpose if you have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's role is to make godliness your purpose, then how do you pursue your purpose? According to this verse, you do this through disciplining yourself for the purpose of godliness. So let's dig a little deeper into what the spiritual disciplines are. Before we move into the spiritual discipline of Bible intake, what are some important things to remember concerning the spiritual disciplines? Well, first, most of the disciplines are intended to be pursued both personally and as a community. And this is really important. For instance, reading the Bible is not just to be done by yourself, but also with others. And each of us in this room are probably a little more inclined to practice the disciplines individually, and others are more inclined to practice them corporately or in community. I've met people that have told me that they don't need to go to the local church or go to church because they're able to practice the spiritual disciplines themselves or personally. And then there's others that are highly involved in the local church and practice the disciplines corporately in this type of environment, but never practice it personally. And so there's two ditches that are really important that we don't fall into. We need to pursue them both personally and within community. And secondly, when it comes to the disciplines, we need to remember that they're activities, not attitudes. I mean, disciplines are things you do, although again, the purpose is not about doing as much as it is about being like Jesus. There are specific practices we are to do sometimes that can cultivate becoming more like Jesus. And while I was in Haiti this past week, I was with Mika Alltime, who some of you may know, who's a part of this community here at Grace North, and married to Fabio Alltime, who has a family, are planning to move down to Haiti here this summer, at the end of the summer, to live there and to help run Empowered International down there. And I've seen some major growth in Mika, and those that are close to you here, I'm sure you've probably seen the same thing. There just has been this real kind of healthy growth that's happened specifically in the last 2 years as God's been preparing her to make this move. And some of the things that I saw in her this week were just an amazing amount of joy and faith towards what God is and wants to do. I mean, it was so encouraging. And as I talked to her about it, I asked her what actions have helped her get to the place that she is. And she expressed to me that a lot of it has simply been being a part of community, being a part of this community, and being a part of different studies and Bible studies and reading scripture with other ladies and praying corporately together and just engaging in corporate kind of engagement within the disciplines, marriage classes, and so on, different actions that has helped her pursue a greater sense of godliness, being like Jesus. Those things have helped her pursue godliness and have given her things like joy and faith. And these actions have helped her to cultivate an environment to help her become more like Jesus. And that's what the disciplines do when we pursue them. So they're activities, not attitudes. And thirdly, spiritual disciplines are not a way to salvation. And we know this from Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourself. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Disciplines don't get you to salvation, don't earn you salvation. Salvation is through faith. Shortly, we're going to do a baptism, and as I met with Carmen this past week, who's getting baptized today, one of the things we express about baptism is that it's an outward representation of an inward relationship. It doesn't give you salvation. It just represents the salvation that God has brought her through faith in Christ and through repenting and believing in Christ. And so spiritual disciplines are not a way to salvation. They're a way towards godliness. And while we can't, and fourth, let me move that to the next one. Fourth, they are a means, not an end. Remember, the purpose of the spiritual disciplines is godliness. And while we can't be godly without the practice of the disciplines, we can practice the disciplines without being godly if we see them as ends and not means. My son Colin is learning to play guitar from Connor. I think, is Connor still in here? Yeah, he's learning to play guitar from Connor. And one of the things that he has learned is that it actually takes a lot of practice to learn the guitar, right? But the reality is that there's little value in practicing the chords of a guitar without the purpose of playing music, right? I mean, it can get tedious, it can become drudgery really fast if the purpose is practice. The purpose isn't practice, the purpose is to be able to play music, and I'm hoping he gets to play music here at some point. But just like playing a guitar, yeah, that's a lot of money. And just like playing a guitar, there's little value in practicing the spiritual disciplines without the purpose of godliness. And it's the same with sports, right? Some of you may have heard the 10,000-hour rule. And as I coach, I remind the young people that there's research that actually indicates that in order to become an expert in something, for anything to become second nature, you must perform that activity for at least 10,000 hours. That's a lot of time, right? Tom Landry, coach of the Dallas Cowboys for 3 decades, said, "The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to achieve and wanted to be." In much the same way, Christians are called to make themselves, by the Spirit's power and through the Spirit's power, do what they would not naturally do, practice of spiritual disciplines, in order to experience what the Spirit wants them the desire wants to give them the desire to be, that is, to be with Christ and to be like Christ. So let's spend just a little bit of time talking about the spiritual discipline of Bible intake, and then we're going to transition into baptism. We learned a couple of weeks ago that the Bible is composed of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And these 66 books were composed by more than 40 authors from a variety of educational and cultural backgrounds. The books of the Bible were composed in a variety of places and in cultures. They were written in 3 continents, in Africa, Asia, in Europe, and the Bible was composed in 3 languages. The Old Testament was written mostly in Hebrew and in some Aramaic. And the New Testament was in the common Greek of the day. And then in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 through 17, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21 says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." The Bible is God's word to us. In the Bible, God tells about himself to us in the person of Jesus. It unfolds the law to us and shows how we all have broken it. We learn that Christ became to substitute and substituted for us through his death on the cross, and how through repenting and believing in him, we can be made right and whole. We learn the ways and the will of the Lord and how he wants us to live a life to the full. Therefore, if we want to know God and be godly, we must know the word of God intimately. Bible intake is an absolutely vital spiritual discipline. And it's a very broad discipline. There are many ways to take in God's word. And one way is through what we're doing today, hearing God's word. And that's mainly and many times done within community, within a community like this. Ever feel like coming to church is a discipline? I mean, honestly, ever feel like coming to church is a discipline? Getting up early in the morning on a weekend when you could be at home being served breakfast in bed by your wife, right? That happens to all you guys out there, doesn't it? Amen. Yeah. Amen by a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, right? But one reason, why would people do that? I mean, why would people come to church? Well, one reason is because of the spiritual discipline of hearing God's word, hearing the words of God. And there's many others that we have in an environment like this, worship, prayer, those types of things. Luke 11:28 says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And the purpose isn't to hear, it says in that verse, but to keep or do what it says and therefore develop in Christ's likeness. And Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ." And the second way to take in God's word is through reading it. A USA Today poll was done that found that 11% of Americans read the Bible every day, and more than half read it less than once a month or never at all. I mean, that's the reality. That's the brutal facts. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." And don't forget that reading God's word needs to be done both personally and corporately. And I've found that it's extremely important when it comes to the intake of God's word and reading God's word, that you have some sort of predictable patterns that you can follow in reading his word. And the question is, do you have those patterns? Are there predictable patterns that you have in reading God's word? And for some of us, it's early in the morning is best. Some of us like to get up really early in the morning and read then. I hate that. That is not me. Some people like to be late at night. Some people like during the day. Whatever it may be, I just think it's really important that there's some predictable patterns that you have that you know that's the time to invest in and read God's word. Do you have predictable patterns in your life to read God's word? And the third way to take in God's word is through studying it. The past 2 weeks, we spent a lot of time working through how to study the Bible. And I thought that the last 2 weeks were just really important for us, just to understand what does it look like to study God's word? How do we study God's word? How do we look at the context of Scripture? How do we look at the current culture? And how do we evaluate that? How do we do word studies? And how do we engage in God's word in a deeper way? And the last 2 weeks, we talked a lot about that, and I think it was really good. Our heart as a church, as great at Grace Gathering, is to be like Bereans. Like we see in Acts 17:10-12, where it says this, "As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." It's extremely important. Even as you come here this morning, as you hear the word of God, it's important that we're like Bereans and we don't just take it hook, line, and sinker, but we are willing to engage in it and really seek out and see if the words that are spoken is true. And do it within community and do it with one another. And then in James, He expresses a word of caution when it comes to Bible intake, that even Jesus, again, Jesus really dealt with this in his ministry. He had to deal with this reality of Scripture and reading Scripture and Bible intake, doing it for the sake of knowledge as opposed to for the sake of transformation. In James 1, talks about this, 22 through 25, it says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." D.L. Moody said, "The scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation." Are you reading the word for the sake of information or for the sake of transformation, further towards the likeness of Christ? Reading the word in order to pursue godliness. And transformation comes through the work of the Holy Spirit as we allow the Spirit to both illuminate and help us walk out the word of God. And we pray every morning here at Grace North. We have a team that prays. And one of the things that we're asking is that as the words are expressed, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate, would speak individually. And we have a God that speaks individually to us, that the Holy Spirit would speak individually to each person in this room and illuminate the word for the sake of transformation. And as I said, last Sunday afternoon, I had the opportunity to speak with a young lady who certainly is both hearing from God and taking steps of faith to walk it out. She's a living example of this. And she and her friend Hannah, who Hannah's over there as well, she and her friend Hannah are making a massive impact in their school and with those around them as they step out in obedience to what it is that God would have for them. And God's blessing that. And God's using that as they've seen many come to faith even recently. And it was just really encouraging to spend time with them. And today, this young lady, Carmen, who you're going to meet here shortly, is going to come on up. She's excited about this. So if you want to come on up, and Hannah, if you want to come up as well. And typically what we do when it comes to baptism is we ask those that are getting baptized to, lights just come on? Interesting. We ask those that are getting baptized to just share a little testimony before the baptism. And typically we do that in the pool area, but the pool area is a little loud and a little difficult to hear. And so we thought, since you're the only one getting baptized, that we do it in this environment here. And so she's going to share a little bit of her testimony here in this room. Then Hannah's going to pray over her. And then I'm going to give direction on what it looks like for us to go and to celebrate baptism with her. And so if you want to share your testimony, I think it's on and ready to go.
Okay. I was raised in a Christian household. I knew who God was, and I felt like I was a Christian. But for me, it wasn't a personal relationship with God. My family took me to church as a child. One day, when I was 12, I had an argument with my parents, and I wanted to run away. So I took my dog and went out for a walk. I probably sounded like a crazy person to my neighbors because I started saying, "God, I want you." That was the first time I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. After that, I would pray, but it would be things like thank you for my mom and dad, along with a checklist of things to ask God for. I would say at that time I believed in God, but it wasn't a growing relationship with him. Later, I started high school not knowing anyone. I tried to seek out a group of people who would be friends with me, but the ones I got to know were not a good influence. I wanted people to like me and accept me rather than seeking out people who genuinely loved me. Then I met my math teacher, and she talked to me about her life and how she came to know Jesus from a background of Hinduism. Then she introduced me to campus life, and I started to go. Near the end of my freshman year, I met Hannah on the school bus, and we talked about God. Then we had a four-hour breakfast at Panera and talked about our lives and God some more. Around that time, Hannah and I and a group of other girls from our school who are here today started a target group, which is a missional community, to help people from our school to find out about God. Then I started coming to Momentum, which is the church youth group at New Haven. And it was in these groups that I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of worship and experiencing God's love. Hannah was a great influence, and she showed me how my walk with God could be my own. In January 2018, I went to the youth weekend called Winter Blast, and I felt a real thirst for God as people prayed for me. Since that time, I've been growing in my relationship with God. I am less judgmental and afraid of people judging me. I've been learning to love people, which has been hard coming from my past. I feel happier. There's a rush within me of wanting to disciple people. This past January 2019 at Winter Blast, I had the opportunity to talk with my friends about Jesus. I was expecting to grow in my faith, but I wasn't expecting to help other people to come into a relationship with God. I had a prophetic word and a Bible verse for my friend, so I shared it with her, and she started crying. Then she said, "Now I want to surrender my life to God." The thing that has been so exciting about all this is that I've been grown from being a disciple to becoming a discipler of others. Right now, I have a real thirst for other people to come to the Lord, and I want to pursue him and find other people to disciple. I was very nervous at first, but now I don't want to hold anything back.
Amen. Awesome.
Well, God, I just thank you for Carmen. I just thank you for what you've done in her heart and in her life. Just thank you that she's such a beautiful person. She has so much joy for you that when she comes in first period in the morning and everyone's half asleep, Carmen's just full of joy. And she has you living in her, and you give her the motivation to go through the day. And I just thank you for her, Lord. She's an answer to my prayers to see your kingdom come in our school. I just thank you that we have a mission together as a group of girls to reach people, to share who you are. And I just thank you that Carmen has grown into a real leader and someone who people can imitate. And I just thank you for her heart. Thank you that this has been something you've been doing in her whole life. And I just thank you that it's really come into fruition in the last couple of years. And I just pray today that as she gets baptized, she would just be so full of you, Holy Spirit. She would just have such a feeling of joy and excitement. And I'm just thankful that she can make this commitment in front of everyone here today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, they're going to head to the locker room and get changed. And Hannah and Brian Gehrig are going to baptize her this morning. So let me just give instructions on what this looks like for us. So baptism is a time to celebrate what God is doing. And obviously God is moving, God is working, and we want to celebrate that here with them. And so in a second, we're going to get up and we're going to head out these doors back here, and you can work your way back into the pool area. But let me just give instruction on what that's going to look like. First, if you have older children, so not the young ones that are in the nursery, but older children, we would encourage you to head back and pick them up first. So go back to the children's room, pick them up. If you don't pick them up, they're going to be stuck in that room. So please pick them up. And then once they're picked up, then head back to the pool area. And once everyone's in the pool area, they're going to come in. We're going to baptize her. And then when she comes up out of the water, I want to hear the loudest yell out there, and we're going to scream, we're going to celebrate with her in there, and then we're going to pray and dismiss everyone from there. So does that make sense? Did I explain that well?
Yes.
All right, good, thank you. So let's all stand together, and I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll head that direction. Again, if you have children, head over there, and then head to the pool area. Try not to fall into the pool. All right, let's pray. So, Father, just thank you for this day. God, I'm just grateful for just Carmen and her story and Hannah and for all the girls that that are meeting together and gathering together and really making an impact for you, bringing your kingdom here on earth. And, God, just for their faithfulness and for their obedience to you and really for Carmen, this is a step of faith. This is a step of obedience for her to step into the things of you and to express in front of all of us that she's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and that she's willing to express that to all of us, Lord. So just grateful for her decision. We celebrate with her today. And God, we're just grateful again for all that you're doing, Lord. Pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So go grab your kids. Otherwise, you can head back through these doors over to the pool area.